So the key to content marketing now that we have viable artificial intelligence is, surprisingly, the exact same as it was before AI. It's just that not many content creators had the right focus then, and even fewer will now that we have push-button articles. Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur, Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
All right, Brian, we are back, and there has been a lot of change in the world since our last episode of Seven Figure Small, but nice to be back here on the mic with you.
Yeah, good to be back here with you too, and lots of change. At least we have something to talk about, but it's interesting because this is exactly the type of change that supports the entire premise of Seven Figure Small in the first place. I mean, since 2019, we've been talking about, you know, the augmented solo or small team. We're going to have AI. We're going to have virtual environments, all of this combined with the right positioning and the right audience, and you have these very powerful small businesses. And now we're seeing firsthand what the AI portion of that looks like. And I think it's just kind of throwing people for a loop. Like, we knew it was coming, and yet now that it's here, it's kind of mind-boggling. What are your feelings about where we're at with everything, other than, of course, it's like drinking from a fire hose with new developments every single day?
Boy, it is. I mean, it feels like we were kind of just starting to, you know, like kind of understand ChatGPT-3 and what it can do. And it's like, bam, here's four. Bam, five is coming. And so things are just happening so fast. I think it's perfectly reasonable to feel a little bit overwhelmed. And like you said, like you're kind of drinking from a fire hose. But boy, it is time to really work hard to get up to speed, to stay up to speed, because it's just going to keep, the speed of change is going to keep getting faster. And we're especially seeing that now with AI.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really, though, it's difficult to settle down and just say, okay, how can this help me do what I need to do to accomplish my goals and whatever it is that I'm trying to accomplish? And I just kind of think about it in terms of, for example, Scott Galloway, you know, Prof G on Twitter. Yep. And the Prof G podcast. He does the Pivot with Kara Swisher. He does a really great data intensive newsletter every week. And people are probably out there going, how does this guy create content at this level and with this level of expertise? And it's simple. He has an entire staff of support for research, preparation, notes. Now, this is not in any way taking away from Scott. He's a smart guy, and he's incredibly well-spoken. He's got a great work ethic, but that's impossible for one person to do on their own. But he has a venture-backed company behind him, and that's incredibly helpful. But now I look at that, and it wasn't but 2 or 3 months ago I was saying, wow, that would be cool to have that much of a research staff, someone who can prepare first drafts for you, give you notes for podcast episodes, all of this kind of stuff. Well, we now all have it, right? This is the proper use or the proper way to be an augmented content creator. You know, I mean, with the push of a button and the right prompt, you can get first drafts, you can get notes, bullet points on almost any topic, right? And then the key as creators is to come in and bring the uniquely human aspect of things that you bring to it. And that's not really all that different, except that I think we can do more, we can do it better, as long as we don't lose sight of what doesn't change with AI, And, you know, as I've alluded to, this is exactly the same thing that mattered before AI, but so many people that are pumping out content, you know, they're doing it mainly for SEO. Traffic is the extent that some people think that content is for. They don't think about the fact that they need to make a connection with people. They're just pumping out information. And man, I do a lot of research online, everything from my own personal fitness regimen that I've started this year with lifting weights and whatnot. Some of this content is so bad, it hurts me, Jared. I mean, it's painful, right? And even at its best, it's just information, but it's riddled with grammatical errors and spelling problems and sloppy everything. At least GPT-4 puts out grammatically correct content, right? It may hallucinate from time to time, but but right, I think we're actually, you know, this is probably not a popular opinion, but I think the level of content will go up over, I don't know who a lot of website owners were hiring to write this content, but it's just an indication that most of the content out there is very, very bad. And to a certain degree, this is a step up, but it's still not what we're aiming for with content, because you have to look at what are we really trying to do? You just get traffic to your website. Okay, what then? What's your actual objective? It's to get a customer or a client, right? Unless you have an advertising-based model. And frankly, I think you'd agree that that is the reason why we have so much bad content, because people don't care. As long as someone clicks and an ad is loaded, then I guess mission accomplished. But
hard way to make a living. That's for sure.
Very bad. Very bad. But no, I mean, I think it brings us to the counterintuitive secret to thinking about all this change and what it's going to mean for your solo or small business. And it's to think about what won't change. And what's not changing here is human psychology. And that's what marketing, including content marketing, is really about. It's not the Google algorithm. It's not any algorithm. It's what is this connection that I can make with other human beings, and not all human beings, but very specific human beings that you understand are your ideal prospects. So this reminds me of, and you've probably heard this before, Jared, and probably a lot of people out there in the audience have heard it too. You know, when Jeff Bezos of Amazon was asked, you know, what's going to change in the next 10 years? And he's like, that's an interesting question, but I don't know. But the question you need to be asking is, what's not going to change in the next 10 years? And I'd say that's exactly on point, specifically with regard to AI. You know, Bezos said, what's not going to change is the more important question, because you can build a business strategy around the things that are stable.
It's such an important thing to keep in mind, especially in times where things are changing as rapidly as this. It does help ground you. So, like, what are some of those things? Like, what do you think we can count on not changing that we can build our strategies around?
Well, when I say human psychology, that's another way of saying human nature, right? People want to belong. They want something to believe in. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, even as we as individuals seek problems and seek to solve problems and achieve goals that are very personal to us, you know, from a social psychology standpoint, the way we function within, whether you want to call it an audience or any other type of group, is, you know, we want to be with our people. And those of us who are out here trying to lead people to solutions for their problems, to help people obtain what it is they're trying to achieve, it's very important to strike a connection with your ideal prospect that is much deeper than the information that can just get, you know, kind of pumped out by AI. And before anyone says, well, wait, with the right prompts, you can interject all sorts of personality and what have you in, using ChatGPT. Yeah, you can, but do you know what you're aiming for in the first place? And without doing the proper background and research, actually choosing the audience that you want to attract, knowing why that is, how that's congruent with you, then you really aren't being strategic with your content, and you're really not creating something that sparks a connection. You're just providing more information. Maybe it's more grammatically correct than that person you hired from Fiverr, right? Again, just based on what I see every day online. But is that going to really do the job from a marketing standpoint, from a psychological standpoint? And I'd say no, it's not really going to be any different. So that's what I mean when I say the secret ingredient post-AI is the same as it was pre-AI. And it's being able to focus on the very human elements that we have to connect with people. And that's like, what are their fundamental needs, wants, values, worldviews? And again, not of just anyone who's interested in solving the particular problem you help people with, your ideal customers and prospects. What are they focused on? What do they believe? What unifies them with commonalities that are also shared by you? Now, this is an examination that, as you know, me, you, and Trudy have been doing some group coaching, some individual coaching behind the scenes since last year and having a good time with it. But I think the most satisfying part of it to me, Jared, has been that we're actually just able to get people results, like in a way that I just haven't seen done with courses or articles. You know, I mean, sometimes you can create, stuff I wrote at Copyblogger years ago, obviously connected with people and they went on to create successful businesses. That's awesome. But it seems like there were 9 other people who didn't really get what they needed out of it. So that's been cool.
Yeah. You know, and on that point, I mean, obviously one of the things that we've been helping people do is put together their strategy, document their strategy, because if you're going to make good use of these tools, you have to have a strategy that you're following. It's got like, there's this very short time window, I feel like right now, where there's like a wow factor for, whoa, this blog post was created totally by AI. No one's going to care about that, you know, very short order, because it's going to be all about what you just said. Does this connect? Does this actually create the results that you want? And I know you've mentioned stats before about how like half or less than half of content marketers even have a documented strategy. And that's a problem. And it's going to be even more of a problem when the content, you know, is easier to create, but you know, what is your content actually doing? Do you have a plan that you're following?
Right. And again, it goes back to digital marketers specifically think content marketing is about information instead of connection. It's a way to feed the Google bees for traffic. But what happens when the traffic arrives at the site? Are they just hitting the back button? Are they taking some information and then moving on somewhere else? You know, content to me, even in the early days, obviously everyone wanted to hear about how to get traffic, right? SEO, back in the day when social media really was a huge traffic generator. It's part of the process, right? Yes, you have to, top of the funnel, attention, you got to get that. But why? You know, content is part of the sales process, you know, that you're getting people primed to say yes before they even realize that you're persuading them, that you're quote unquote selling to them. You're taking them on a buying journey. And the longer they don't feel like you're selling at them, the better. And again, this has always been the heart of content marketing. This is what you and I and Robert and Sonia worked on when we were all at Copy Blogger Media, right? This was it. The connection with the audience, the right audience, right? And even within the audience, the subset of people that we were most trying to reach. So yeah, and the fact that the stats still are about half or even less than half of people, and we're talking B2B marketers, not just B2C, not just little guys, not small, just small businesses. There's no documented content strategy. How do you know who you're talking to at, on an intimate level if you've never actually thought it through?
It's a great question. So let me flip this conversation on its head a little bit here. Can we just ask ChatGPT to come up with our strategy for us? I mean, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's true. It's only as powerful as what's out there. You know, that's what people need to keep remembering. This, yeah. We're being given answers from the content that all of us have been putting out there over the last 20 years. So whenever GPT, whatever, for now, gives an answer that's laughable, you know, some people try to point a finger and say, AI is dumb. It's not anything to worry about. Yeah, it is. I mean, don't try to dismiss it because you're afraid. I get it, right? It is threatening and we don't know exactly how far it's going to go. But right now, when AI spits out something that just inadequate, well, I think we kind of have ourselves to blame for that, right? We trained it on what's out there. So one of the AI prompting newsletters that I subscribe to, in fact, it's the one I recommended to the email list last week, basically said, hey, use, you know, ChatGPT to create a marketing strategy. And it did a prompt and it gave the product and the available budget and the marketing goal and the target, you know, a very vague notion of the target audience. And then, you know, the AI gave an answer and it's completely inadequate. But here's the thing. I've seen time and time again, whether it's a documented strategy or writing personas, and it's just the thinnest, vaguest, demographic-based nonsense that you could imagine. It's almost less helpful than nothing, right? Yeah. So you can't... So here's...
Well, That's a great slogan, by the way. Less helpful than nothing.
Less helpful than nothing. Now with twice than nothing. But, you know, it spits back the step two, identify a target audience, top 10,000 copywriters around the world, age group 25 to 50, demographics, as if age group isn't a demographic. That's interesting. Predominantly male, educated, and tech savvy. Interest, writing, technology, and innovation. So you're crystal clear, Jared, on on how you're going to talk to this person. That is not a strategy, you know. Is that better than nothing? I don't know. I mean, maybe it gives you a false sense of that you have a strategy, but that you don't understand your audience at a demographic level. Let me give you a great example. Obviously, further is on its face, demographically, for people above the age of 50, right? So someone may be out there going, wait a minute, Brian, so Further is a demographically targeted publication. No, that's just the broadest baseline cutoff of the audience possible. From there, we're only talking to a certain type of person. We're only talking about a person who values health, personal development, people who are actually interested in becoming the next best version of themselves. A lot of people aren't. That's the basic difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. If you have a fixed mindset, you don't think you can get any better. So you don't read personal development newsletters, right? It's kind of a waste of time. So yeah, there's a lot more going on at the psychographic level with further and should be in any case. Maybe by GPT-7, I don't know. At some point, we're going to have AI assistants that know us better than we know ourselves. At that point, you may be able to ask a question like this and get maybe a more lucid, nuanced answer. But in the meantime, I think only you as a human being can truly discover and flesh out who your ideal prospect and customer is, because a lot of that is going to be based on who you are authentically and who you can best connect with. Unless you're the type of person who thinks you can just fake it and connect with whomever, but that's pretty rare. So I don't think we're at a point where you can use AI to develop a viable marketing strategy. I do think that once you have a viable marketing strategy, you can write prompts that help you quickly generate really a good first draft of content that has a shot to connect. And then you come in and edit and accentuate the human aspects of it as much as possible. So I'm not trying to say, I'm not one of these people that says that AI generated content is useless. I think it's actually quite helpful, but only as an augmentation of who you are and the strategic goals and what's the right word here? You know, I mean, we talk in terms of movements and missions instead of marketing, because marketing, most of it is just forgettable. It's just platitudes and just stuff that probably embarrasses AI to look at. You know what I'm saying? I mean, on LinkedIn the other day, I saw this guy ask ChatGPT-4 to generate a list of headlines for this small business. And then I really felt embarrassed for this guy. And then he said, but a human wrote this one. And it was just this bad pun, you know, and this guy holds himself out as an expert marketer. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed for you right now. But, you know, it's just like some people think a bad pun in a somewhat clever headline is great genius marketing. And no, it's bad. It's bad marketing. You know, at least the AI avoided that. So it's really a weird situation where human beings aren't always all that good at this. And I think it's because they think in terms of clever instead of clarity and connection. Like, you don't have to come up with a clever tagline to connect with another human being. What you need to know is who they are and what they believe and what their identity is. And you got to mirror that back to them. And the best way to do that is for that to be you in the first place.
Yeah. And those elements of human taste are so important, you know, being able to recognize good from bad, being able to recognize what's appropriate for your audience from not, and even being able to know who your audience is in the first place, you know. And that's where maybe AI will get there down the road, but it certainly isn't going to be now. And that's why I think that idea of the AI augmented content creator is so important. It's not going to replace those activities. It augments them, but there still needs to be you making the final judgment of what actually goes out to your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, judgment and taste are really the essence of critical thinking when it comes to marketing. You know, is this the right way to say this versus maybe something I think is cute, but isn't right for the audience, right? You know, I mean, so again, it's easy to make fun of mistakes that AI makes, but again, it's trained on an ocean of bad marketing and mediocre content to some degree, right? So it's very good at pulling information out, but you know, we always had that ability, and it was never about delivering information. Like, people seek information, but when you're giving them content marketing, it's the information in a wrapper, and it's the wrapper that makes the magic.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that's difficult for, you know, people in general across the board is being too close to your own thing. So we've been able to work with people in a coaching capacity, or you could do it in a consulting capacity, where you just see the obvious thing. It's right there in your business. Your existing customers are saying it, right? Voice of customer type stuff. It's right there and you don't recognize it. And that's your winning difference. What we like to call, you know, the positioning that makes you that allows you to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we've started helping people with.
Yeah. So let's dig into that a little bit. Cause that phrase winning difference, that's something that we've been talking a lot about. You had one of the great teases, in email marketing, I thought, last week when you sent out that newsletter.
I'm telling you, man, people always read the PS, especially if you make it like enticing. There probably are people going, damn it, Clark, I'm not going to click this. I'm not. Okay, I'm clicking it. Right. It was one of the most, you know, that was a meaty email full of AI resources. And I got a lot of nice notes from people thanking me, going, geez, this is the stuff I've been looking for. I know I need to do this. But that was like the second most clicked on thing in the whole email. And it was a blind PS.
Curiosity gap, PS. Like, it just had everything. It really did. So, okay. So let's unpack that a little bit. You were linking to a new website, movement.consulting. What is Movement Consulting?
Well, we've been teaching and coaching people in our own strategy framework, which is the Movement Strategy Framework. And this has been effectively under development for 10 years in the sense of me trying to explain what I did at the beginning of Copyblogger and even before Copyblogger, and then push forward through Rainmaker, all the products that we created, and then further and Unemployable. How did I make these decisions on, you know, effectively what was a connection between me and my ideal audience, right? And that's the strategy framework, and it's come a long way. I've taught it in like $5,000 training courses. We've done it with our group coaching program that we did last year. We're doing it with individual coaching as well. And it's just a framework, like anything else, about how to think about what you're doing, why you're doing it, who you're talking to, what do they need to hear, and how do they need to hear it? Really, when it comes down to it, it's simple. It's not necessarily easy, though. And part of the gratification that we've seen when the light bulbs go off with people is, number one, they realize, wow, this is actually some work. But when they do the work, they have a completely lucid understanding in a way that they've never had before. And I think that's it. You know, that's the aha moment you're trying to get to, and being there to say, yes, you're on the right track, or you're almost there, but you need to think about it this way, right? And again, like I said before, so often to get someone by the sticking point was just the fact that they couldn't see what's right in front of them, because you're too close to it. It's your baby, you know, your business, your new website, your email newsletter, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's very easy for someone trained in this framework who thinks in these terms to objectively look at what you're doing and go, no, that ain't it. But this is, you're right there. It's just right there next to you.
So you can learn more about what we're doing at movement.consulting. Submit the contact form if you have an inquiry.
Yeah, you know, at the consulting level, as you can imagine, we don't work with a ton of people, and that's not in some sort of snotty, exclusive manner. It's more like, are you doing well enough to where we could come in, give you a makeover, and then you take it to the next level? And I think that's the essence of, you know, there are a lot of six-figure businesses out there who would like to take it to seven. Maybe they want to go to eight. And usually what initially got you to your initial level of success probably won't take you to the next level. But it is just, it's people think scaling means I got to hire a bunch of people, and it's really just about finding ways to throw more traffic at what I'm doing, when in reality, you need to play bigger. And that's actually, isn't that the name of a positioning book? It is, I think.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's the whole idea. It all comes down to how you're positioned in the marketplace, which really means how are you positioned in the minds of your ideal prospects, right? And that's what the term winning difference means. It's not, you know, Sally Hogshead says, different is better than better. And she's not wrong. But I think without more clarification there, people will do things that are just different, but they're either off-putting or they inspire apathy in who they're seeking instead of being a winning difference, which of course is that connective spark, the thing that goes, all right, this is my person, this audience, they're all my people, and this is where I belong. If you can make that happen, that's how you get to the next level.
Perfect. Well, Brian, I think that is a great note to end on. We are planning to be back with another episode next week, I believe. Yes?
Absolutely. We're going to keep digging into this. I'm sure we're going to keep exploring AI. I am definitely getting my hands dirty with it. So is Trudy, but, we have designated Jared king of all AI, right? Like when we have hard questions.
Yes.
No, but it's actually kind of fun, especially the whole idea of learning how to give instructions to an algorithm in the right way makes all the difference.
It's fascinating.
I know.
And also, really, you know, one thing we should probably mention here in closing too, just to make sure everybody has the right idea. I feel like people are hearing headlines about ChatGPT and they're seeing some of the like flashy stories and forgetting what ChatGPT is, which is a generalized language processing model, which, as you said, is just taking all the inputs that it has and spitting out outputs based on that. Where a lot of people think that we're going is to modular AIs that are specialized in, you know, specific areas, you know, fed specific things so that they can spit out different stuff. But the ChatGPT right now, it's a generalized language processing model. And so I think you need to go into that. I think it's important to understand what it is, to understand the capabilities of what you can get out and how you need to approach it. You know, to get the right stuff out. I mean, who knows? Maybe at some point we can develop the movement AI and just feed it every single thing you've ever written, everything you've ever said, and it'll have the context for giving a marketing strategy based on what you're talking about. Right now, that is not going to happen. You're getting the generalized advice from everything that's out there. So it's important to keep that stuff in mind, because I think it's easy to lose sight of that context when you get in there and you start interacting. But that is very important foundationally, I think, to have success with these tools.
That's an incredibly important point. Did you hear about Bloomberg's specialized version of AI that is trained on proprietary Bloomberg data? You know, they made their billions off of those data consoles and proprietary information.
Yep.
So they train their own AI with information that's not on the web. And this is the thing, Jared, that's going to eliminate jobs if that ends up being the outcome, because corporations have always had custom software built specifically for their needs. Well, of course, that's exactly how their individual AIs are going to be. And then there will be human beings that work for that corporation who work with and effectively train that AI. And as it gets smarter, you'll find that the people aren't necessary anymore, or at least, you know, 1/10 of the people are necessary. You know, with all the tech layoffs, it was like almost like a copycat syndrome where, you know, Facebook lays off and Amazon lays off. And of course, there's the Twitter layoffs and Google, everyone. But I haven't seen anyone point out that all of these companies are the most sophisticated users of AI and developers of AI in the world. They know what was coming with GPT-4. I mean, Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, had GPT-4 back in the fall and wrote a book with it. It's already out, right? They all knew this was coming. Yes, they overhired during COVID. Yes, they're worried about recessions. But are there better suited organizations in the world than the big tech companies to employ AI without all those people? No. I mean, and all those jobs aren't coming back. So the real issue here is how does this play out? How quickly? And how does your average enterprise adapt these technologies? Well, I would say very quickly, because now you just slap AI on anything and you get funding if you're a startup. Yeah. But every company is basically, what's our AI strategy? And I'm afraid that the corporate level AI strategy is not the same as our intentions as solos and small teams. Yes, we can replace ourselves and still make money. Your average employee cannot. And it's a scary time. I'm not rooting for people to lose their jobs. That is not something that I think is a great outcome. But knowing how capitalism works, I don't see how it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a dour note to end on, but
but not for you people out there, that's right. Because you you don't work for large corporations, right?
That's right.
Okay. See, it's not a dour note.
No, that's true. And you know what? There are going to be more and more roles for lack of a better term, AI whisperers. You know, there's going to be all this information in there, but you're going to have to extract it in a meaningful way. And we are not removing humans from that process for the foreseeable future, especially for the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. But although, I don't know if you saw that there's these notices or post about prompt engineers making like good six-figure jobs basically just to create prompts for AI, because that's really what it comes down to. A well-crafted prompt is a skill. It is an art and a science. Yep. But the other day, I think Robert Scoble retweeted something about software that creates prompts for you. So now we have AI that creates prompts that can be fed to AI. I'm starting to wonder.
And AI is learning how to code itself.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, once it just starts building itself, look out.
All right. Well, we will be back next week talking more about this. check out what we're doing over at movement.consulting. Brian, any final words before we close up?
It's crazy times, but you know, at least we're not bored.
Well said.